That sounds good, don't it? Glory to His name. Why don't you take a hymnal and turn over to page number 113. We'll all stand. Choir stand. Church stand. We'll sing it together. Page 113, Glory to His name. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood of life. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood of life. Glory to His name. We always just sing a first and a last, but I'm telling you, we cannot pass over the second verse. It says, I am so wondrously saved from sin. Amen? Amen. I am. I don't know if you are or not. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Amen? Amen? Amen. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His name. Can we sing that? Turn around to the second verse. On the second now. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood of life. Glory to His name. On the last. Great to see you in the house of the Lord this evening. It's great to have Brother Brian back. Brother Brian, I'm sure you've done a tremendous job this morning, sir, as you always do. We're praying for you, but it's great to have you back in His house tonight. Good to see Brother Alan Young with us, and he's always a pleasure to have him here with us on Sunday evenings. But it's just great to have you back in the house of the Lord. What a great, great message this morning. Amen. On the prodigal son. Man alive, what a message. Spoke to my heart. I'm sure it did yours as well. And it was just good for me. I just truly needed to hear that. And Pastor, I want to thank you for your obedience to preach the word like it is, man. That's what I love about you. You just preach it like it is. And I'm thankful for that. But the Lord's got something for us tonight. You believe that? Amen? Man, y'all weak tonight. I guess you didn't get your nap, or maybe you did get a nap. I don't know. But it is, it's great to be here, and I know the Lord's got something great for us. But let's go to Him in a word of prayer. Please continue to pray for Christy Teague and for the family as they minister to her. Continue to pray for Miss Glenda. Dawn, it's good to see you here tonight. We're praying for you, mentioned you this morning in prayer. And pray for God's healing on some folks. We've got a surgery coming up, and we want to continue to pray for you and just ask the Lord to be with you in a special way. But let's go to Him in a word of prayer. Ask Him to be in the service, bless the offering, and just to bless in this place tonight. I want to be able to go home and say it's been good to have been in the house of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
All right, you're getting better. CJ, would you take us, Lord, in a word of prayer? Since I met this blessed Savior, since He cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise Him. I'm gonna shout. That He
appreciate that, Brother David. Brother David, sometimes for me, going from singing to preaching is kind of like when you're lost in a parking deck and your back's about to give out at a hospital, and then a little man comes by with a golf cart and says, "Can I help you?" And I say that because that's happened to me before, and it kind of reminded me of that. And a man gave me a ride. I lost my car in a parking deck one time at a hospital in Atlanta, and I couldn't find out where it was at. I mean, I got my steps in. And that's not me. I know where I park at. Even sometimes I take a picture of it, the level that I'm at. But some hospitals have letters and numbers, and it's easy once you get down in Atlanta to some of these hospitals to get turned around. So thank you, Brother David, for the golf cart ride to the pulpit. I appreciate that. I'm ready now. And it's good to be here tonight. And sometimes Sunday nights you just get an altogether different feeling than Sunday mornings. And although we enjoyed this morning, enjoyed preaching this morning most of all, tonight is a new service. And there are some things I do want to share back out of the book of Luke. So Luke chapter number 6, if you would, for a few moments. Luke chapter number 6, just a few moments tonight, and I want to begin reading verse number 12 in just a moment. Luke chapter 6, verse 12 down through verse number 16. Father, we love you tonight. I thank you, Lord, for the people of God. Well, we can assemble ourselves, that we can assemble ourselves together in the local church. I'm glad, Lord, that we are here tonight, even on a Sunday night. I know that there's a lot of churches that would like to have Sunday night services and can't. Some just have chose not to. We're not talking down or talking any harm to any church, but we're just glad that we have it here tonight. I pray in the next few moments, Lord, that you would give me a clear head and a calm heart. I pray that you would use your word to edify the believers tonight, to challenge us. Lord, let us be changed by the time that we leave, changed for the better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Luke chapter number 6, notice if you would in verse number 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. This is Jesus we're speaking of. This is what he did. The God-man needed to pray, felt compelled to pray. Verse 13, and when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles, Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon called Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was a traitor. That's reading Luke chapter number 6, verse number 12 down through verse number 16. Jesus had come down from the mountain having a time of prayer. This was a big deal that he would separate himself and pray, because he was getting ready to choose the 12 that would change the world. He would choose the 12 out of his disciples. There were many disciples of Jesus during the time that he was on earth, but of the disciples, he chose 12. And he chose 12 to be apostles. And so these apostles would go forth and preach the Word of God. And so what is the difference between a disciple and an apostle? Well, the word disciple means learner. So there were many who followed him to learn of him and his ways. And the word apostle means messenger. And so amongst the learners, it was time to elect some messengers. And so Jesus went up to this mountain to pray. And he spent all night there. And so let me just say before we go any further that there are a lot of people who claim to be apostles of today, and there are none like they were in Bible days. One of the prerequisites to being an apostle then was you have to have identified the resurrection of Jesus, been present, been there, been an eyewitness of the resurrected Lord. Another word for apostle, again, as I said a moment ago, is messenger, delegate. And so there are apostles today in the sense of messengers. But a good Bible student wouldn't call themselves an apostle because it could get confusing. And so we see that Jesus is picking his preachers. Don't turn there, but in Mark chapter 3 and verse 14, the Bible says that, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach. So this was big business. And it would really do all of us well, starting with me. Always start with me. It would do us all well, starting with me, that we would be prayerful over any decision in our lives. I mean, from the little stuff to the big stuff. Lord, what do you want me to do today? What's the priorities of today? Unto, Lord, where should we move if we're thinking about moving? Lord, where should we go to church? And everything in between, we should be prayerful. Jesus was prayerful about these things before he decided to pick these apostles. Also, it needs to be said that Jesus began the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, if you would, began speaking to them, his apostles, before they went full throttle into the world preaching the gospel. And we can glean from that we need to be filled with God's Word. We need to know God's Word. We need to have our vessels ready and fueled to be His witness in this lost and dying world. We need to be at the feet of Jesus first before we can invite others at the feet of Jesus. And so this is what's taking place in the setting here in the book of Luke, chapter number 6. But tonight I want to call your attention to one specific apostle in verse number 15. The Bible says, Matthew and Thomas. Thomas. I want to talk about Thomas tonight for a little while. And the title would be this, Doubting Thomas or Devoted Thomas. Doubting Thomas or Devoted Thomas. We have heard a lot of teaching and a lot of people have said that and used the word doubting before they mentioned the name Thomas because of the occasion when Thomas wasn't present when Jesus showed up where the disciples were assembled together. And he said, I won't believe he was actually here unless he shows up and unless I put my hand in those nail-printed hands of his and touch his side. And so a lot of people treat Thomas like he was one who was a doubting apostle. Now the question is tonight, did he really doubt or did he not? Was he devoted or was he a doubter? Well, just a little short answer to that, I believe he was both. I believe he was both. I believe there were times in Thomas' life where he doubted, but I also believe there were times in Thomas' life where he was devoted. Kind of sounds a lot like us, doesn't it? Sometimes in our life, we're devoted to the Lord. We have that special place of prayer, and we're really plugged in, and we're prayer wheels are turning, and God's speaking to us, and we can't wait to get out there and share Jesus with someone. We can't wait for Sunday to roll around and stand behind the desk and preach the Word of God. But then there's times where, man, we wrestle to believe if God is going to make ends meet at the house. There's times where we wrestle, will God heal our bodies? There's times where we wrestle in our life, will the Lord allow ends to meet financially? And will these bills get paid? Will this get paid? And so there's just times where we doubt. It's the intersection of doubt and faith. And sometimes we just are at that intersection and we struggle. And so tonight, let's look into the life of Thomas just for a bit. Doubting Thomas or devoted Thomas. Number one, let me just briefly mention his description, the description of his name. Verse number 15 mentions Thomas, Matthew and Thomas. Thomas also means twin. In the book of John, it mentions his name as Didymus. And so Thomas means twin. It means Didymus. And some people actually thought or think that maybe he had a brother that was twin to him. And there were these two Thomases running around. But then some commentators believe and some people think that this speaks of his dual personality. That one time he is a devoted disciple, and then on another occasion he is this doubting disciple. I tend to feel like it's the latter. He was one with a dual personality. And like I said just a moment ago, I believe that we all have a little Thomas in us from time to time. There's this dual personality that we wrestle with. We sing the songs of Zion. We sing words of praise to the Lord. But then on Monday morning where we go to put it into shoe leather, that's the challenge, isn't it? That's the real challenge. And so we're wanting to be practicing Christians tonight. We're wanting to be devoted believers tonight to the cause of Christ. So what can we glean from his life? Well, we can glean some things from his very name. It means twin. It means Didymus. Possibly one of a dual personality. But secondly tonight, not only his description, but I want to look at his draft. His draft. Notice in verse number 13. Back up in verse 13. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom he named apostles. We see a draft that took place here. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples. Disciples, come over here. Don't know how many they were. But there were, I'm sure, many of them. And he said, okay, you come with me. 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 And so we see that there was a selection that took place. He called his disciples, but then he handpicked 12. The handpicked 12 that he picked had purposes. And they had personalities. And yet, he handpicked them anyway. Praise the Lord that he picked Peter. Praise the Lord that he picked Thomas. Praise the Lord that he picks these who we see these snapshots of their life where they fail and the other times where they rise up out of failure and they succeed. Thank God for whom he chooses, and thank God that he uses who he chooses. But we see a draft here. And the word chose, where he says, He chose 12. The word chose means to select. Same word as draft. And so these 12 were drafted into apostleship. If my studying serves me correctly of history, in 1969, there was a military draft. 1969-ish, there was a military draft. And people were selected to go and represent and fight in the Vietnam War. Any of y'all around know about that? Okay. Am I telling you the truth? Thereabouts. They were drafted. And I've even heard talk in the past 3 years of the possibility of another draft. I don't know. This whole thing going on with Ukraine and Russia and making its way to the doors of the United States. I don't know. And we're not here to talk about that tonight. But there was a draft in 1969, a draft lottery. They were picking and choosing those who they would take as fighters in this Vietnam War. And the same goes for you and I tonight as those who are born again believers. The moment that we got saved, the Lord, He has drafted us into His service. He has chosen all of us to be delegates, to go out to the highways and the hedges, to preach the gospel to every creature, and compel them to come into His house, that His house may be full. And so we see that we're all drafted into the service of the Lord. I didn't wake up one morning and say, hey, I want to be a preacher. I didn't wake up one morning and say, hey, I want to be a pastor. It wasn't my choice. I got saved back in 2002. We won't go through all that. And then I got under the preaching of Berman Cape Jr. and all the other preachers that would preach through there. And God got to speak into my heart, and I just had a strong desire to stand and proclaim God's word. I knew I couldn't do it. At that particular moment, I'm thinking, why am I feeling this? Why is there an urge? There's an urge, it's like a magnetic pull, to go behind the pulpit. Why? Why is this there? I had no idea. Freshly saved. I took on my first Sunday school class. I taught for about 4 years. And through all of that, the love for God's people and feeling what they feel. I knew every person didn't have that and doesn't have that. And I'm not bragging on me. This is all God and His and how He designed me and how He drafted me into His service, like He picks and chooses and drafts you into His service. I said it before. Back before I got saved, I was tenderhearted and caring of others. And so God used those very traits into my Christian life. And He created me that way for a purpose. And God has created you a certain way for a purpose. And it isn't you that enlists. It's God that enlists you in whatever area of service you're serving in. It's God who has given you a measure of grace to serve in that capacity. Now, I'm glad now that He's called me because I enjoy doing it. But it was a draft. I mean, we're all drafted into the service of the Lord. We're all called to share. John chapter number 15, verse 16 says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. So there was a draft here. There was a draft. I want to mention something else. Not only His description, we see His draft. But then, turn if you would to John chapter 11 in verse 16, we see His devotion. I believe we have devoted Thomas here tonight. We have devoted Thomas before doubting Thomas. Devoted Thomas before doubting Thomas. when you go, and I encourage you to go back and look at his life is a mixture of times of doubt and times of devotion. John chapter number 11, Lazarus has died. And word got to Jesus that he was sick, so he died. He stayed where he was at. Notice, if you would, verse number 6, when John 11, verse 6. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. His disciples, listen here. Listen what he says, verse 12, what they say. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Every man needs a good nap. Man and woman, let him sleep. He's snoring. He's getting it in. Verse 13, howbeit Jesus spake of his death. Let me park it right there for a moment. That phrase, verse 13, howbeit Jesus spake of his death, tells us and shows us a Bible principle about death. There's places where death is called sleep. But some would mistaken it as soul sleep. But it's death. They've died. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death. But the verse says, but they thought that he has spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. I said a moment ago, some believe in soul sleep, where they're just asleep and they are non-existent until the resurrection. But we believe that when someone dies, they are either with the Lord or they're in a place called hell. And so sleep is reference is to death of the body, and the soul lives on somewhere. Just wanted to finish that out. Verse 14 again, then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Verse 16, then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. I am of the persuasion that there is a devotion here. Some commentators said that let us go so that we may die with Lazarus. Then you can look at, so let us go that we may die with Jesus. I believe it's let us go that we may die with him, Jesus, because of who Thomas answers. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples. The last time we heard from them was in verse 6. When the Bible says, when he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that he saith unto his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee. And so Thomas is responded to them. Well, if they stone us, they stone us. But let us go with Jesus. Even if they kill us, let us go with him. This shows the devotion of Thomas. He was ready to die with his master. There is a price to discipleship. There is a cost to discipleship. There is a price to pay in following Jesus. Now, tonight I'm not talking about giving our physical life. course, we may be heading to that point very soon of having to give an answer to someone, and it may cost us our life. We're getting that way, and we're heading toward that direction very fast, very fast. But what I'm talking about is, I'm talking about just in a sense of the will and surrender and yielding our life to Him. Thomas was devoted and he was risking his life because he loved his Lord. Tonight, can we see any measure of devotion in our own lives toward Jesus? Is there any measure of devotion? Well, yes, there's a measure of. We all have some kind of measure of devotion. But the measure that we see in the life of Thomas, it was costly. It was costly. And to walk with Jesus, to talk with Jesus, to have the kind of fellowship that Thomas had is costly. It's going to cost more than 3 times a week in church to have that kind of close walk with the Lord that Thomas had. It's going to cost some during the weeks in between, during the days and the weeks in between. It's going to cost some personal prayer time and some Bible reading and making yourself. The very word of this, the word disciple means discipline. To have such a relationship with Jesus, it's going to take some discipline. And so we see Thomas, I believe, in his devotion. He was devoted to the Lord even unto death. He knew there was a cost to following Jesus. Luke chapter number 9 and verse 23, I'll just give it to you. The Bible says, "And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Back when COVID first hit and we had no other choice but to go online for our services. And you see, we're still online. Facebook. But a study was done shortly after COVID hit and the churches were having to close their doors due to the COVID. And it's contagion and spreading. And so there was a study, and the study said at that time, right when it first started, that after 11 weeks of no in-person worship, 20% of a particular church's congregation, I don't know where that was, who had internet access, watched no other services. And so, in other words, they went all digital because they had to, and they watched for a little while, and then they stopped. And I don't think we've really fully recovered from that, from when COVID first hit. Because, I love what Brother Snyder said on Sunday. You know, he just said some things. He said when he preached on Jubilee Sunday morning, he said, "You say you can worship at home, but you don't." I mean, you know, only a small percentage really fires up Facebook Live. Only a small percentage really calls their family into the living room or into a close area and say, "Let's have digital church." Sometimes people have to watch it from home, and I praise the Lord for it. But it was never intended to be a replacement for in-person. And now the whole thing is just messed up, and people stay home if they want to. They watch, and sometimes they say they watch, and they don't watch, and they watch, and they get a lot out of it. Some say they don't get a lot out of it. Some are coming back to church. Some are leaving church. It's definitely during the time that we're living, a Laodicean church age. But when we look at Thomas's life, we see devotion. He was devoted. And nowadays, we can't even get people to watch on Facebook. Sometimes I think, Brother Brian, Brother Allen, sometimes I think it's a better sermon I need to preach to get people to come. Sometimes I think, Brother Ceylon, well, I'm not praying hard enough, and I'm not preaching good enough. And listen, I'm not asking for an attaboy after service. I'm speaking my heart. This is from me to you. And still, people, it's a church-wide problem. It's a church-world problem. People are falling away. Now, God always had a remnant. There are some, and there are some local revivals, like what is it, Ashbury? Is that the name of it? We talked about it at Sunday school, Amanda, last week. Was it Ashbury College? Local revival. And I like to think that we got a sense of refreshing here at our church during Jubilee. And the intent of Jubilee is to refresh us and to get us to a realignment spiritually, so that when the next week rolls around after Jubilee, man, we're in the Word and we're praying and we got all gears and all parts moving. Just takes a level of devotion, no looking back. Who wants to go back to a mundane Christian life? Who wants to go back? And I'm not speaking of CBC, Calvary Baptist Church, before Jubilee. I'm just speaking of all of it spiritually. Who wants to, if you received refreshment during Jubilee or any revival, who wants to go back to a mundane Christian life where you're dry and things are dead? I don't want to go back. I was revived during Jubilee. I got to be devoted. I got to be willing daily. Now, I don't mean I got to walk around in a suit every day, suit and tie, and look spiritual, and I'm devoted to Jesus. No, but I'm to think about Him more every day. John chapter 6, verse 66 says, from that time, many of His disciples went back and walked with Him no more. And so there was definitely some who walked away. Let me mention one more thing and we'll be through. We see His devotion, but then His doubt. Look in chapter number 20. Chapter number 20. We're skipping over His doubt in chapter 14. There was definitely some doubt there. Verse number 5. Thomas struggled with knowing the way. Jesus, having just told him where and what He was doing and where He was going, Thomas struggled with that. But in John chapter number 20, notice if we would in verse number 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear, of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. When He had so said, He showed unto them His hands and His side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As My Father has sent Me, even so I send you. And when He had said this, He breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Verse 25, the other disciples therefore said unto Him, we have seen the Lord. But He said unto them, except I shall see in His hands the print of the nails, and put My finger into the print of the nails, and thrust My hand into His side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, His disciples were within, Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace unto you. Then saith He to Thomas, oh, it was personal. It was personal. Then saith He to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold My hands,
and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. This is where we get doubting Thomas. But I still got to argue with that one. Because these disciples were in fear in the upper room. Where was Thomas at? Maybe he was still devoted. So there's still an argument there, but at the end of the day, they said Jesus was here. And he says, I doubt that. I doubt that. And so he said, except I shall see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand, verse 25, into his side, I will not believe. And so in spite of everything the Lord has taught and showed Thomas, he still doubted Jesus and his resurrection. John 14, 5, he was doubting again. But back in John 11, we see devoted Thomas. There's a lot of Thomases in the house tonight, I feel. Starting with me, I am a Thomas at times. I don't want to be a Thomas. But sometimes I just doubt. And there's other times where I'm devoted. And I'm sure you're the same. There's this dual personality within all of us. I guess the thrust of the message tonight is don't be so hard on yourself when you wrestle with faith. Give yourself some growing room. Because we all wrestle at times with believing not can God, but will God. We wrestle with that. So we see his doubt here. But in conclusion of the message tonight, I want to say this. Jesus did something for Thomas so personal that I believe it really changed his life yet the more. Now Jesus was the one who created Thomas. And this is me saying this. The Bible don't say this, it's me saying it, but I believe it's here wrapped up in these verses. Jesus created Thomas. Jesus hardwired him. Jesus knew his struggles. Jesus knew what he needed. And so at the very place that he doubted him, he showed up. And there again, I have to even argue with the doubt here, because he was there where Jesus showed up. And so he was possibly waiting to see would he show back up. So that's faith. But he had a need. He had to know it all. He had to feel everything. Everything had to be laid out before him. He had to see hard evidence to believe. You may be here tonight and you may believe Jesus is the Savior. You may be saved. You may have asked him to be your Savior. And you have no doubts or struggles with that. But there may be something in your life tonight you're struggling with, and you need hard evidence to trust Jesus with it. Jesus, I know that you can, but it's a matter of will you? And to be quite honest with you, Lord, I'm struggling if you will or not. I want you to, Lord. Sometimes we wrestle with that because we think that it ought to end up a certain way. We feel it ought to be a certain conclusion. God can, but will God? That's up to him. But how we get things settled is coming to the foot of the cross and saying, Lord, whatever the outcome, I'm trusting you with it. You see, there was a lot who walked away at this point. But Jesus turned to Peter, said, Peter, will you also go away? He said, Lord, where else can I go? You have the words of eternal life. Even if I don't understand everything, Lord, where could I go? You've called me. You saved me. I'm your disciple. And tonight, maybe there's some here who need hard evidence of something in your life. Jesus has saved you. He has called you. But tonight may be the night where you just lay it down, whatever the conclusion may be. Whatever Jesus chooses to do is fine with you because you can't fix it anyway. But saying that, as we stand tonight, saying what I just said, Jesus will meet your need. He will meet you where you are at that intersection of faith and doubt. He will meet you there, but you come to Him wanting to hear from Him, and He will be real to you, I promise. Father, we love you tonight. I pray that you would bless the time of invitation if there should be anyone here that needs to come and deal with some things, God, that maybe they're like Thomas on. They're believing one minute, they're doubting the next. They need hard evidence. Bible says, blessed are those who have not seen but believe. Help us believe you for the impossible. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If you need a